Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Exits Closed. My guest is Alan Collins, who is head of student loan justice, and he's here to talk about something that just boggles my mind. It's the fact that so many young people did not come out and vote for Bernie Sanders. So, Alan, did that surprise you at all?
Yeah, it was really surprising, Cynthia. You know, in this country, we have about 55 million people who either have student loans or are co-signed on them. And a majority of these people, they're in distress over their loans. And so I would have thought that a lot more student loan borrowers, particularly in places like South Carolina, where the borrowers have big problems with their student loans more than average, I would have thought that a lot of people with student loans would have come out. And so that maybe doesn't even necessarily mean young people so much, although the young people today are getting absolutely slammed by student loans. And so I would have expected a far greater showing for Bernie, because he's calling on he's making a campaign pledge to cancel all student loans. And that should be very attractive to a lot of people. But up to this point, we just have not seen them come out to vote for him. And it's pretty baffling.
What do you think that's so?
Well, I think the only thing that I can really come up with is just that they don't take him seriously. They don't believe Bernie when he says, I'm going to cancel all student debt by a tax on Wall Street trading. They obviously don't believe that that is true. And so what I am suggesting strongly, and it may be too late at this point, but I hope they'll listen. I've been telling them, his campaign policy director, for over 3 weeks now. What I'm suggesting strongly that they do is that Bernie takes an hour out and calls a press conference or something similar and really drills down on his student loan plan. And what I would suggest is that he would call call this press conference and say, look, you know, this is, I want to do this press conference for all the student loan borrowers out there and go into a lot of detail about how exactly this is going to work. And my suggestion was that he pledge that on day one, he will give Congress essentially marching orders to pass that legislation that he's calling for. So he's calling for a Wall Street tax, the proceeds of which should be used to cancel all student loans. Now, if he was to let people know this and then say, now I'm going to make this pledge on day one, or I'm going to give Congress their marching orders on day one, and then at the end of 2 years, if Congress hasn't passed that legislation, then Bernie needs to say that he will issue an executive order canceling all loans possible, all student loans possible. And it turns out that by executive order, Bernie could cancel somewhere around 85% of all student loans. It's a little kind of a tricky, it's a tricky maneuver, because many loans are not held directly by the federal government. Many are held by private banks. And so for those loans, private loans and some of the older style student federal loans, he would have a bit of a hard time. In fact, by executive order, he wouldn't directly be able to do that. But, 85% of all student loans are directly held by the federal government. So that would be, it would be possible for him to do. And if he was to say something like that, and then maybe also come in after that and say, oh, by the way, also on day one, I will return bankruptcy protections to student loans by directing the Department of Education to stop opposing bankruptcy filers in court. if he was to say something like that and make kind of a big deal out of it and, you know, get it up into a news cycle, you know, assuming that word got out, I think that would go a long ways towards convincing all the distressed student loan borrowers out there, of which there are, I already said, about 35 million people, which is just a ton of people, most of whom vote, by the way. If they were to actually believe him, then they would be getting off their couches to vote for him. So just Bernie talking in more detail instead of saying two lines, cancel student debt by Wall Street tax, you know, instead of just saying that, just take some time and make it clear to the voters that not only, you know, will he push very hard for what he wants through Congress, which is going to be really hard to do, but then if Congress doesn't do it, yeah, he will do it by executive order. That would be what the voters need to hear to get off the couch. And so I've been speaking with his policy director and others in his campaign, his campaign manager as well. And, you know, at this point, it's really the 11th hour for Bernie. I think most people have written him off at this point. I'm not quite ready to do that, though, because we have one debate left on Sunday. There's only going to be mm-hmm. two candidates in that debate. And so Bernie could really – he could use that debate, as a matter of fact, to drill down on his student loan pledge like I suggest, you know, or maybe do something different. I don't know. I can't think of anything else he could do. But if he can get the 35 million distressed student loan voters out there to believe his pledge, it could possibly salvage his election. And I know it's a long shot. I'm not making any guarantees at this point. but certainly Bernie needs to do something.
It shouldn't be a long shot. When you have been in contact with his staff, have they been responsive to what you're saying? What's their attitude?
They have, to be honest, Cynthia, no, they haven't been very responsive at all. And I understand that the student loan issue is one of, you know, a dozen or more issues that he likes to talk about regularly. But nonetheless, you know, they need to listen. If they want to win this election, obviously they need to do something different. And, you know, up to this point, they've been rather dismissive, if not even maybe a little rude. but nonetheless, that doesn't matter. I think Bernie's got a real shot here. And in this 11th, if not 12th hour, he really needs to pull out all the stops. And he's got exactly, I'm going to say, one more shot here. And if he doesn't do just incredibly well in the upcoming week, he absolutely is going to be done.
Okay, let me pose a two-part question to you. If Bernie Sanders does not do well in the upcoming primaries, from your perspective, how will that affect people with student loans? I'm sure that Biden's not going to do too much, and I don't think Trump will do too much. So what's your overall feeling for what's going to happen to these 46 million Americans that have student debt?
Yeah, that's a great question, Cynthia. And, you know, I have to say, Bernie, because of his pledge to cancel all student debt, it is just absolutely incredibly important that he remain in the race in order for the student loan issue to be viable. Because with Bernie as the nominee, that makes it far more likely that Donald Trump will do something on student loans, either pledge to do something as in his next term, or what would be even more more significant and even likely perhaps, is that Donald Trump would actually issue an executive order returning bankruptcy protections to student loans at a minimum. So with Bernie in the race, I think Donald Trump gets very worried because, you know, 55 million voters, 35 of whom should be strongly motivated to vote for the president that, or vote for the candidate that goes for them. It's a lot of people. We are pushing very hard for Bernie, and that will not change until it's obvious, or until he pulls out of the race, or it's just obvious he can't win. But right now, there's just a tiny sliver of daylight for Bernie, and I hope he makes the most of it. With Bernie out of the race, Donald Trump isn't going to do anything. And all things being equal, Joe Biden, if he continues with his current student loan proposal, which is worthless, by the way, Joe Biden is absolutely terrible on this issue, then unfortunately, we, studentloanjustice.org, we're going to have to go and find another candidate to endorse. And more than likely, that would be Hallie Hawkins of the Green Party.
Awesome.
And I love Howie, and I love the Green Party, and I would loudly and proudly endorse him. But there is no way we will ever endorse Joe Biden with his current proposal. And I know that makes a lot of Democrats mad, but that's just too bad, because we simply will not be played for fools again by the establishment. We will not do it. We didn't do it 4 years ago. We won't do it now. And if that costs Joe Biden the election, well, then that's where the chips will fall. And if there are Democrats out there that are very concerned about that, then I would say they need to either push for Bernie Sanders, or they need to talk to Joe Biden's people and push Joe Biden's people very hard to get Joe to make a believable pledge that he would, return bankruptcy to student loans by executive order on day one as president. That's the only thing that's going to get us to endorse Joe Biden at this point.
You would think that in debates, in public speaking, that Bernie Sanders would bring up 2005, when Biden signed on to the taking away bankruptcy protection for student loan borrowers. You would think that he would be more active in bringing that to people's attention. Why do you think that's not happening?
I could not agree more, Cynthia. And to his credit, the last time I talked to Bernie about the bankruptcy issue, that was the first thing that he mentioned. I can't really speak for Bernie why he isn't mentioning that more. But this is blood in the water here. I mean, Joe Biden, if you can't tell, I'm not only not enthused about Joe Biden. Joe Biden is a bad choice, In 2005, the senator, he was instrumental in getting bankruptcy taken away from private student loans, as you just said.
Mm-hmm.
And, shortly after he did that,
we talked about what might happen to people. Just as important is what might happen to the economy if this problem is not addressed within the next couple of years.
Yeah, that's right. Right now, we're right on the precipice of $2 trillion in debt. The interest alone on that is well over $100 billion. And that is being sucked directly out of consumer economy. And that is just the worst thing in the world. But more than that, right now as we speak, Donald Trump is looking for a stimulus to deal with this current coronavirus crisis. And really, canceling student loans by executive order really rises to the top of the list of easy stimulus tools. With the stroke of Donald Trump's pen tomorrow, he could cancel 85% of student loan debt, and he could do it without adding one dime to the national debt and without requiring one penny of congressional tax appropriation. So, all the other options available to President Trump are pretty bad. The prime rate is at 1.5%, so you can't drop that much lower. A payroll tax, a pension that we're hearing about.
Well, that's eventually got to get paid through the Social Security Plus Fund. And not only that, you know, people who are going to lose their jobs in the next few months, it's not going to help them at all. So, and any every other tool that you can point to is going to require either adding to the national debt or raising taxes. And so canceling student loans does none of those. So right now, we are pushing President Trump very hard to rise to this occasion and use this opportunity to push the reset button on student loans and make the very drastic, I admit, action, take the very drastic step of, yeah, canceling most student loans by executive order.
It really shocks me that we have people running for Senate, we have people running for Congress, we have people running for president, and if nothing is done about this, it's going to severely affect the economy. Severely affect the economy, yet they don't even talk about that. I don't understand. What do you think?
You know, it's like the 800-pound gorilla in the room. And this goes on both sides of the aisle. The Democrats and the Republicans, particularly in Congress, they are scared. They don't want to touch this problem, I think because it's so big at this point. And I think that is just the absolute wrong approach for them to take, because there are 55 million people in this country that are harmed badly and are poised to be harmed even worse by this problem. And these people vote. You know, I did an analysis recently, and if even a small fraction of the 35 million distressed voters out there voted for Bernie Sanders in a general election, it would turn a Donald Trump 20 million vote slide into a Bernie Sanders 8 million vote win. And so people realize that. You know, we're talking millions, but in every congressional district, there are over 100,000 voters who have student loans, 65,000 voters who are distressed on their student loans. Now, in many congressional districts, 65,000 votes is enough to win an election outright, certainly in the off years. And so Congress, I don't know what's going on. It's like the Twilight Zone. What other $2 trillion problems are there out there that Congress is not talking about? You know, student loans is the Wild West. You know, every other issue you can point to, whether it's gun control, abortion, immigration, healthcare, the battle lines are pretty well drawn around those issues. And, you know, people pretty much know what side of the fence they're on. But on the student loan issue, it's those battle lines are not drawn at all. It's the Wild West. And so the political party or the candidate that capitalizes on that would benefit massively. So I just don't get the reluctance.
We vote them to represent us, and it doesn't seem as if they're representing us. They're representing the big banks. The big banks aren't going to solve these problems, right?
No, absolutely not. They will do nothing but tighten the screws on student loan borrowers. You know, the banks, and this includes the Department of Education, which is the largest bank on earth, really, if you think about it. $2,000 in student loans, there's no bank on earth with a bigger portfolio than that. They love the absence of bankruptcy protections. They love to hold the citizens over a barrel and essentially enslave them under this predatory debt. And the founding fathers saw this coming, by the way. Founding fathers were being screwed by British banks. And, you know, when they wrote the Constitution, they called for uniform bankruptcy laws ahead of the power to declare war, ahead of the power to raise an army. That's how important the founding fathers felt that bankruptcy protections were for student loans. And yet here we have a Congress here today, which is more than happy to watch this constitutional right be stripped uniquely from student loan borrowers. There is no other type of loan in this country that does not have standard bankruptcy protections. Only student loans have been singled out. And history will show that this was probably one of the most, if not the most, brazen attempt to conquer and enslave the citizens by debt. And those are the words of John Adams, not me.
Right. The word is enslave, and it's totally incomprehensible to me. That's the only word I could think about it. So during the Democratic heyday, when there was a lot of candidates, did any of them seriously talk about the student loan debt crisis? And at that point, did Bernie stick his nose in and talk about it?
No, last election, we didn't have any good candidates to vote for, except for Jill Stein of the Green Party. And prior to that, nobody ever said anything about student loans. So last election, Bernie was as bad as Hillary was. He offered nothing to the 50-plus million people at that time who either had student loans or were co-signed on them. Only this election that Bernie came out and we actually had someone to vote, someone in one of the two major parties to vote for. And I was really hoping that other candidates would follow his lead. Elizabeth Warren, to her great credit, also called for loan cancellation, although lesser than Bernie's. She wanted a $50,000 cap. But we were able to persuade Elizabeth Warren to include a pledge in her campaign that she would, on day one, issue an executive order calling on the Department of Education to stop opposing bankruptcy filers on student loans in court. So we were riding pretty high there for a minute. We had both Bernie and Elizabeth, strongly on our side. But at this point, it looks like the establishment has reared its ugly head and essentially pushed Bernie out of the race. And, you know, I can't help but wonder, what is the establishment thinking? If they alienate Bernie Sanders voters by so obviously manipulating this election in a very coordinated strategic way, which is apparent to all, voters, even more so this time than last time, are going to turn their backs on the entire process. They might not vote for Trump, or maybe they will, but they certainly will not come out and vote for particularly Joe Biden, who is even more anemic of a candidate policy-wise than Clinton was. And so, you know, people talking about, you know, only Biden can beat Trump. Well, no, exactly the opposite of that is true. Because if Biden wins this nomination, and it appears that he might, Bernie Sanders people will not say, oh, okay, well, good race, and then vote for Biden. They will not. However, if Bernie Sanders wins the nomination, all the establishment Democrats who don't like Bernie Sanders, they will vote for Bernie Sanders. They'll say, well, okay, he's a little crazy, but I'll vote for him anyway. So it doesn't go the other way. So really, the only candidate who can beat Trump is, in fact, Bernie Sanders, because of what I just said. And quite frankly, I think Bernie Sanders may be maybe the only candidate who can really get independence enthused enough to come out and vote for him also. That might be a little more of an open question. Biden nomination guarantees defeat in my mind. And I think most people, when they consider what I just said, they'll be compelled to agree with me.
You know, I've been conversing with Howie Hawkins, not frequently, but I have been conversing with him. And his overriding theme in this election is climate change. And student loan debt is secondary. And Jill Stein made student loan like a top priority. For Howie to talk about climate change before student loan debt crisis, he's not fully concentrating on the problem? And if so, do you think that'll hurt the Green Party?
I think it will. And, you know, they are the Green Party, so I guess maybe one would expect them to focus on the environment first and foremost. But strategically, I think that's exactly the wrong thing to do. You know, particularly now, as we apparently are headed into a financial crisis as a result of this coronavirus. Unfortunately, and, you know, who's not for saving the environment? Of course, obviously. But in times of economic distress, the thing that really gets people off the couch and down to the ballot box are, you know, candidates who talk first about helping their constituents economically. And I think that is absolutely probably going to be the case this November. And so, you know, I would urge the Green Party to stick with the same strategy they had last time, and like Jill Stein, and really talk about student loans first. I think they may be able to pick up a lot of traction on that.
So there's still a number of primaries to go. Do you think Bernie Sanders still has the ability to pull a rabbit out of the hat?
I do, Cynthia. And I know many people wouldn't agree with me, but, you know, it really depends on the voters to stop listening to what the mainstream cable news channels are pushing down their throats and voting their heart. If they were to do that, and as I said, if Bernie was to get very serious on the student loan issue and make sure that all the voters know what his detailed intentions are on the student loan issue, you know, he could still get 17 million people to come out and vote for him that haven't voted for him yet. I think we're only roughly halfway through the primary voting. And from what I saw, you know, to win the nomination, Bernie only has to win 55.1% of the remaining delegates to win the nomination. So when you put it that way, that doesn't sound really that hard to do at all. But he does need to catch fire. And he's got to use this next debate here on Sunday to his great advantage to expose this huge difference between him and Joe Biden on the student loan issue. I think if he does that, he has a shot. But if he sticks to what he's been doing up to this point, I'm not very optimistic.
So this is a conversation that will be continued. So give yourself a plug in the last minute that we've got.
Oh, sure. I would urge everybody with student loans to come to studentloanjustice.org. And maybe even more importantly, from there, join not only our Facebook group, but also one of the 50 or maybe more of the 50 state chapter groups that we also have set up on Facebook. These next 8 months are going to be very important for us in pushing not only the candidates, but also pushing Congress to pass two bills right now, S-1414 and H.R. 2648. So we really need people with student loans. We need their help, and they need us, quite frankly, because we are the only group I'm aware of significant size that's actually fighting this battle.
So, Alan, we will talk again. You have been listening to Alan College, founder of Student Loan Justice. And this is All Exits Closed. So if you like this show, follow us on Twitter, All Exits Closed. Thank you, Alan. Thank you, everybody, for listening.